Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would impress this verse upon our hearts. Help us to desire to be more like Christ day by day. We do pray that you'd raise up men to preach the gospel. We pray that they might be called by your Holy Spirit. And those of us that are reaching toward the end of our ministry on this earth, we pray that you'd give us grace that we might use what time you give us for your glory. In the name of the Savior, we ask it. Amen. This text, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, but we all with open face, that means unveiled, beholding as in a glass, or we would say a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. For a long time, I wanted to preach on that text, but I didn't know what was meant by those words from glory to glory. We'll get to those in a few minutes. But in getting into this text, the first thing I want to say is that man in his original glory was different from the animals because he was made in the image of God. God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and after our glory. There is no creature on earth like man. He's obviously made in God's image. The very idea of evolution, that man is an accident, I know the world thinks we're crazy, but I think they're crazy. That not only do you have this body which is wonderfully and fearfully made, but we have a soul and we have consciousness. We have awareness of right and wrong. And that's because we were made in the image of God. This image was effaced. You look at Genesis 3 through Genesis 11, and we find that man is in a downhill slide. We read about Cain killing his brother, about Eve being used to tempt Adam. We think of Lamech and what happened before the flood and how the world was corrupted. And people that were on the ark were still living when the earth rebelled again and Babel, the Tower of Babel was built. This image, however, is restored in Jesus Christ. Again, our text says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we're changed into the image of Christ. Romans 8:29 says we're predestinated to be like God's Son. And in Colossians 3 and verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now that brings us to these glories. Change from glory to glory. First of all, this is a work in progress. You say, what is going on in our lives, in our Christian lives? We're being changed from glory to glory. And this word that's translated in that way, actually in the Greek, is a lot like the word metamorphosis. How that a caterpillar makes a cocoon and comes out a beautiful butterfly. So we are changed from from glory to glory into the image of the Lord. Now, the problem I had with this text, as I've already said, is I didn't know what was meant from the glory to glory. What are the glories? Well, I'll tell you how I arrived at the interpretation, which I believe is correct. And that is what we call the analogy of the Scriptures. There are 66 books in the Bible, but really they're all the same book. The Bible is one book inspired by God. And so all of the Bible teaches the same thing. You know, sometimes, like the Mormons, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that speaks about baptism for the dead. Now, I'm not sure that I know exactly what that means, but I know this, that whatever it means what the Bible teaches everywhere in the Bible. It doesn't teach something different from what the rest of the Bible teaches. And so, in reading this, it struck me one day, well, when the Bible says we're changed from glory to glory, that's not teaching some wild doctrine that's nowhere in the Word of God. That's teaching the same things that other doctrines are teaching in other places in the Holy Scripture. And so, change from glory to glory obviously has the meaning that God is doing something in us to make us go from level to level, from glory to glory. And so I asked myself the question, there is a legal side to salvation. We're justified. We're forgiven. And there is a spiritual side. When the Bible is talking about from glory to glory, it's obviously talking about the changes that take place in us in salvation. From there, it was pretty easy. I thought, what's the first thing God does in our lives? We're born again. What's the second thing? We're sanctified. We grow. And what's the third thing? One day we're going to be resurrected, have a new and glorified body. And so I felt like I had it, the interpretation, and I think this is right. So we're changed from glory to glory. The work of God in making us into His image is begun in the new birth. John 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. And you know, the reason He used that terminology is because when we come into this world, we're sinners. We have no love for God. But when we're born again, we take on the appearance of our Heavenly Father. And we are able to love other people and able to love God. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, the Scripture says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so according to God's mercy, He cleanses us and He renews us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the first glory. If somebody is saved, they're a new creation. They're like the family of God. After we're saved, God begins to sanctify us. In Philippians 1:6, it says, He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, it says, as newborn babes, we desire the milk of the word, whereby we grow thereby. And so sanctification, spiritual growth, is the second glory. And again, if we're saved, we will grow. You've heard me probably talk about the pet rock. When I came to First Baptist Church years ago, over 30 years ago, that they were selling the pet rock. And you buy the pet rock and you could name it, adopt it, I guess. And it was easy to feed and easy to care for. But it never grew, you know. You get a dog, it's a cute puppy, and gradually it grows to be an old friend. They say the dog is man's best friend. But in the Christian life, if we truly are Christians, we grow. That's the ultimate test of whether or not something has life, whether or not it grows. And every pastor has people in the church that never grow, and how they worry you. I've said that when I came to the First Baptist Church, I could have bought a pet rock and set it on the front pew. I could have baptized it, gave it communion, preached to it, but never grow. If that's you, you need to be concerned about your state, because Christians grow. They don't always grow straight like this. They may, but they grow. And then the third glory is glorification. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be likened unto his glorious body?" Christians are not satisfied. There's something they want. They want to be like Christ. The wonderful thing about heaven is not the scenery. The wonderful thing about heaven that so appeals to Christians is they won't sin anymore there. You know, people that go to hell, the thing that bothers them is they can't sin anymore. And I mean, they can sin in their heart, but they have none of the things of this life. But the Christian rejoices in that in heaven he will not sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, the scripture says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now notice, "And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And so that's what we're waiting for. We want to be like the Lord. And the Bible speaks of the spirits of just men made perfect. When a person who's a Christian dies, they go to heaven. And the spirit is made perfect. But they're still waiting for something. They're waiting for the second coming of Christ, when even the body will be redeemed. Now, what is the agent, or who, we should say, is the agent of this change? Well, let's read the text again. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory," now notice, "even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the one who changes us is the Holy Spirit, as by the Spirit of the Lord. To be born again, to be born from above, and to be born of the Spirit, those are all the same thing. And in salvation, we are born of the Spirit of God. The change that takes place in our life is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's His work that causes us to be different. In Romans 8 and verse 11, the scripture says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now notice, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm not sure I understand all that that verse is saying, but we know it's saying this, that the Spirit of God dwells in Christians, and the Spirit that renewed a Christian and caused them to be born into God's family is the same Spirit that causes them to grow, and the same Spirit that will raise them up one day when our Lord returns. And so the Holy Spirit is the agent of change. Now notice, the Holy Spirit is the agent of change. What is the activity of those that are being changed? What is their activity? Well, we go back to our text. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Now notice, see if as I read it you pick up on the activity of the changed. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what is the activity? What are they doing who are changed? Well, it says they're beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. How do you get to be like the Lord? You behold the Lord. I want to show you that. As we behold, the scripture says, we're changed from glory to glory. In regeneration, I'm going to say regeneration / conversion, because really those are two sides of the same thing. A person that's born again has been converted, they've repented of their sins and come to faith in Christ, and yet we know that the reason people are changed is because the Spirit of God changed them. But what are they doing when they're converted or born again? They're looking to Christ. They're beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Jesus said about those that would be saved, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." Faith is described in many ways in the scripture. It's described as a calling out to Christ. It's described as a committing ourselves to Christ. It's described as eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which is kind of a strange thing to us. It's described as coming to Christ, fleeing to Christ. But when you think of all those things that are used to describe faith, in one sense, the most encouraging is the one, "Look unto me." I think and love to read about Spurgeon's conversion. He was a 16, 17-year-old boy in London, and his father and his grandfather were preachers. But he was like all people that are not born again. He didn't understand the gospel. And he was going from church to church trying to hear something that would teach him how to be saved. He got up one snowy morning and he went out. It was a bad morning, cold and snowy. And he was going to go to a certain church to hear a certain preacher, but the weather was so bad he just couldn't make it and gave up. And he started looking around, he saw a little church, and he thought, "Well, I'll just go in there." He went in the church, there was a handful of people, 12 people or something. The preacher didn't show up. He was snowed in, they didn't have telephones, I guess, back then. And so there was an old guy in the church there, just a poor laboring man, who always wanted to be a preacher. Brother Bennett, have you ever noticed that everywhere you go to preach, there's somebody that wants to be a preacher? I can't imagine why anybody would want to be a preacher if the Lord hadn't called him. But there's always somebody that wants to be a preacher. But this was a good man. And the preacher didn't show up, so they asked him to preach. And I believe they probably didn't want to do it. I'll show you why. The man got up and he read his text out of Isaiah, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And he started preaching. And he said, "We don't look to the Father. We don't look to the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are looking for something connected with the Holy Spirit as the object of faith. We don't look for the work of the Spirit and the new birth of this and that. We don't look at our sin. We don't look at the church." He went on preaching along that line. And then he came to the truth. He said, "We look to Christ." And he quoted the text again. Then he looked down at Spurgeon and said, "Young man, you look miserable." That's why they didn't want him to preach. He probably offended people. But sometimes God uses rough edges. And so he said, "Young man, you look miserable." And he said, "You always will be miserable until you obey my text." And he pounded a pulpit, and he said, "Christ said, look unto me." He said, "It don't take a lot of work to look. You don't have to be in a good position." You know, a person sinking in quicksand, they may not have a branch or even a blade of grass to grab onto to pull themselves out, but you can always look. And the truth is, when you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not have the strength to get up and run and flee to Christ. You may not be able to do one thing for yourself. But when you look to Christ, He'll save you. I've said the other night about the woman with the issue of blood. I said she didn't understand very much. You don't have to creep up behind Jesus. You don't have to touch the hem of his garment. All you got to do is look. Spurgeon said, "I looked. And I looked my eyes out." And what all the famous preachers couldn't do, that uneducated, poor man, through the power of God, accomplished. And so in regeneration and the new birth, in our conversion, we look to Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so that's the first glory. And the Spirit of the Lord enables us to be born again. And the Spirit of the Lord causes those that are born again to look to Christ. So in regeneration, we see Christ as he's presented in the gospel. In sanctification, we see Christ as he's presented in the Bible. Now, let me explain what I mean, what the difference is here. When you're saved, you look to Christ by faith. You know you're a sinner. You know you're lost. You know without the mercy of God, you'll end up in hell. And you look to Christ as he's presented in the gospel. It's the message of God sending his Son into the world, and the message of how he died for sinners and how those that repent and believe can be saved. And it's the gospel through which God saves men. You don't have to understand all the ceremonial law, the Old Testament. You don't have to understand what the book of Job is about, or what some of the odd things that you see in Zechariah or Revelation are about. You look to Christ as he's presented in the gospel. And that's how we're born again. And then in sanctification, we look to Christ as he's presented in the Bible. Now you say, what's the difference between the gospel and the Bible? Well, the Bible contains the gospel. But what I mean is this. In conversion, the thing that you're interested in, is being saved, and that salvation comes when you look to Christ. In sanctification, you're wanting to be more like Christ. And so you see Christ as he's presented in the Bible. You know, we that are Christians, we ought to have some time and to pray and to read God's word every day. And as we look to Christ, he's the theme of the Bible. We ought to want to be more like him. You know, a good prayer for us to pray every day is when we're ready to open the Bible and when we're ready to pray, to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be more like Christ. And that's what the Bible will do for us. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We become more like Christ as we see Christ in the Bible. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And so we look to Christ as he's presented in the gospel to be born again. We look to Christ as he's presented in the Bible as a whole, to be sanctified, to grow, and to be glorified, to be resurrected, to be translated, to have a new and glorified body. We look to Christ face to face. The Bible says we know not when he shall appear, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. You see the continuity in regeneration? You hear the gospel and trust in the gospel message and what Christ has done for us. If you would grow in sanctification, you look to Christ as he's presented in the Bible. You not only the Sermon on the Mount, but all of the Holy Scripture, even in the Old Testament, how we're taught to be holy, and we see examples of our Savior. But in glorification, we look to Christ face to face. You know, that's kind of odd when you think of it. In regeneration, you look to Christ as he's presented in the Bible. And you're born again, you're changed. In sanctification, you look to Christ as he's presented in the... In regeneration, we see Christ as he's presented in the gospel. In sanctification, it widens out a little bit. We see Christ as he's presented in the Bible, and we want to be more like him, and we grow. But then in glorification, we see Christ face to face. If you think about it, in regeneration and sanctification, the change is spiritual because the look is spiritual. But when Christ comes and we see him face to face, then it becomes a physical change as well as a spiritual change, because the look is physical. And once again, in 1 John 3 and verse 2, it says, we know not when he shall appear, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In regeneration, we look to Christ. In sanctification, we look at Christ. In glorification, we look for Christ. In regeneration, we look to Christ. We cry out to him. In sanctification, we look at Christ as he's presented in the Bible. And in glorification, we look for Christ. Hebrews 9 and verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him. Do you see that theme? Looking to Christ, looking for him. As Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let me end with a parable. This is not a parable of Christ. This is a parable of Ron. And it's not nearly as good as the Lord's parables, but it, I think, will illustrate this. My parents, when they were married, they were in their 30s before they were married. They have a camera that they bought. How many years ago would that be? I don't have enough mind to figure it out right now. But they bought a camera. Now, you think about, we have cameras today. You can do anything with that camera. Be a flashlight. You can take a picture and then send it on the other side of the world. But the cameras back then, it was a cardboard box with a lens. And in looking at that camera, first of all, there had to be light. You can't take a picture in a dark room. And that light, spiritually speaking, is the gospel. You not only have to have light, you have to have paper that is light sensitive. That's the film that we speak of. And so the light shines, and there's paper in the camera that is light sensitive. The light sensitivity represents the work of the Holy Spirit. You remember Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things of the Lord. And so all of us that are saved, there was prevenient grace. God was working in our lives. And so you have the camera. The camera is in an area where there's light. The camera has paper in it that's light sensitive. The light sensitivity representing the work of the Holy Spirit. And then you have a lens and a shutter. And in order for the paper to get the image, the light has to shine. You push a button and the shutter pops open for just a short time. And the light comes in and hits the light sensitive paper. And then the image is formed on that paper. And you have a picture. Well, how are we changed from glory to glory? The light shines. That's why we need to witness as Christians. You know, there's not going to be any changed lives where there's no gospel. I was down in Louisiana last week, and I so rejoiced at some of the things that God had done. I remember going door to door in La Place, Louisiana, talking to people about the Lord. And one woman, she was older, she came out and we began to talk about things of the Lord. And she had a little black-haired girl with her. And recently, God had begun to work in that family and saved about the whole family. And that black-haired girl, she was an adult with children of her own. And the older woman was dead and gone. But that God had saved that woman before she died. And here's that girl. And this is about 35 years ago. And there was another case that was somewhat like that. So lives are not going to be changed where there's no gospel. Lives are not going to be changed where there's no work of the Holy Spirit. You say, people don't want to listen. Well, we need to pray about that. Again, it said, whose heart, talking about Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And then the shutter has to open for just a moment that the light can shine in. Now, we can preach the gospel, but we can't do that. The Bible says, God who commanded the light to shine into the darkness has shined the light into our hearts. And so God opens the shutter. The light comes in and the image is made. If it's a spiritual look, as in the new birth or as in sanctification, the change is spiritual. When we're born again, we have the same body. We live in the same world. We're made new spiritually. In sanctification, we're made new spiritually. But when the look is physical, The result is physical. When Christ comes and we see him face to face, it's not just a spiritual change. It's a physical change. Now, notice how you have a continuity throughout the Bible. I want to read a verse to you out of the Old Testament, Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I will behold, you see that? I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. He said, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. And what will happen? I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And so you see this promise that we're changed from glory to glory. Who does this? Who's working in our lives? It's the Spirit of God, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And what are the changed ones doing? They're beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. And what is the outcome? There's a change. In the new birth, you hear the gospel, and you look to Christ, and you're converted and born again. In sanctification, you look to the Bible. You begin to read your Bible. You begin to become more like Christ. And as I say, every day when we pick up our Bible in the morning, we ought to pray that the Lord would use that to make us more like the Savior. Spend time with him. And then, in God's time, the shutter pops open. The light goes in, and the image is formed. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we change from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.